everybody. Mr. Martin Polkita is on deck with us. He has authored numerous books, numerous articles, Alert, Security Guide for Personal, Rural, and Urban Security, Mkondo Field Training Guide for Tracking, Dangerous Game, Farm Attacks, and Sign Reading. He's a well-known specialist on farm murders and attacks. He is very well versed in 8 ethnic black languages and knows the black history and culture of the indigenous people. He's probably the only man in the world who understands metaphorical or imagery speech used by the black people there, sweeping up the masses to kill the white people in South Africa. He's coming from a farming background. He has specialized in the security instruction on farm murders and farm attacks and how the white people in South Africa should prepare for the total anarchy about to erupt. Martin travels the country informing the white nation on the true facts that are happening and leading up to the total annihilation of our people. It's embarrassing, but I'll get to that in a minute. Very few, if any, have the insight he has on the African history and the culture of the black people in this country. He writes, he specializes in the art of African sign language and uses the art of tracking to teach our white people to read and react on signs observed leading to farm murders and attacks. He has 2 YouTube videos, True Facts of South Africa and History 1 and 2. And without further ado, here he is. Hello, Martin. Good to see you.
Good evening, John, or good afternoon to you in the States. And I greet all the people that can hear me directly. And I thank you guys for the opportunity to be able to talk to the people in the States about the facts that are going on currently in South Africa.
Martin, I don't really know how far back we want to go with this. So let me just start off by saying that as I was reading these words, teach our white people, I actually felt a twinge of, because over here in this country, we are being made to feel guilty about everything that has anything to do with anything that's challenging or bad or awful, as in the case of, you know, the South Side of Chicago, for example. We are being, it's this white guilt thing. It's this fear of being called a racist. And these liberals, the same ones who are trying to take down this country, I call them liberals just because it's a label. They're not liberal. They're Marxists. This is the same brand of leftist Marxist that has taken down your country. And it pains me to say that because I was over there many years ago, over 30 years ago. And how things have changed. And nobody in the United States, the one country that could do anything about it, people just have no clue. Those horrible racist white people, they just deserve to die. It's like, I don't know what the hell is the matter with people, but something is the matter with them. So why don't we talk about it and see if, John, we can change their minds on something.
You know, John, excuse me. I've known the culture ever since I was a very, very young boy because I grew up, they were my playmates. And the unfortunate thing in this country or in the world is that the cultural lie that has come to being due to, sorry about that. We've been made out to be these brutal white Boers, which is not true. If you go back in the history before Shaka's time, when the Nguni and the Ndwandwe tribes forced the Khoi and the Sun, the Bushmen, out of this country, because they are the actual indigenous people in South Africa. The other thing is, we arrived in 1652 and we were in Cape Town when Jan van Riebeeck arrived here, where he reached a hand of friendship towards the Bushmen at that stage. And what happened? They plundered, murdered, and stole. Now, to take you from there to the 1800s, where the Great Trek took place, where the white man, the Boers, moved into Africa to find land, to be able to work and produce. They met up with the Zulu nation under the kingship of Dingaan. One stretched the hand of friendship to go and discuss the possibility to be able to get land from them to farm and to start their lives. What happened? He killed the leader, Pietro Tief, and his 48 men at Ngungundlovu, where the royal kraal was situated at that stage. And after that, they sent the Zulu impis, and the Battle of Blood River took place, where a handful of 465 Boers thrashed 22,000 plus in a battle that could only have been survived by the Lord intervening. Because if you take it, they were shooting with black powder, and excessive heat, they could have exploded in their faces. Thereafter, they scattered. They actually took off. They fled. But the white man never went after them to eliminate them completely. Dingaan fled to a place called Galweni in the northern parts of the Lebombo Mountains, close to the Mozambique and Swaziland borders, where he was eliminated by the king that was inaugurated by the Boers, Mpanda. But he could not take to the throne due to the necklace, the royal necklace that Dingaan still had. And that is how Dingaan came to be assassinated, so that he could receive the royal necklace to take up the kingship. You see, the problem is, how on earth can a white nation not be the to govern a country after they had, in defense, beaten off the Zulu nation? You see, the problem here is they were, if you take it, it was the Zulus, and then the Bale, the Matabele, came to being due to the fact that he's one of his generals, Mzilikazi. He sent Mzilikazi to go and attack the Basutu nation, and he didn't succeed. And when he came back, he didn't go to the king and report to him at what happened about that battle. And what happened there, he sent him, in their culture, he sent him a white feather. And in their culture, that means go to hell. In other words, he uplifted himself to the same level as his royal king, which Shaka Zulu then told him that if my MPs wake up tomorrow morning and they find you, they will kill you. He then fled to a place called Musiga in the Northern Free State, where he then, from the Free State border to the Natal border to the Limpopo River right up to the Mozambique border used the same tactics as the Zulu nation did with the rise of the Zulu nation to invade smaller clans, to kill the old people, inaugurate the young men into the impis, and then to take the women to their kraals. He then later was defeated, Mzilikazi was defeated by the white man, and he fled to the today known Zimbabwe in the Matopas in Rhodesia, Zimbabwe today. They were the Zulu, and after that the Zulu nation split up with Mzilikazi, was the Ndebele, the Matabele nation, and you had the Khoi and the Sun. Those were the four nations that were in South Africa. These people, the ANC, the Malemas, the Ngqithamas of the BLF, the Blackland First, the EFF, Economic Freedom Front, and the ANC were called Umtiligo Wasenyakatho. That means the refuse of the north. They actually arrived after the white man arrived in this country, due to the fact that with the gold mines and the diamond mines that were started by De Beers and so forth, they were brought in, imported to come and work on those mines. And as it is in Africa, they trust, they use the masses to sweep the masses up to achieve that which they want to enforce by burning, looting, and destroying. If you take South Africa, when you were here 30 years ago or 40 years ago, the country is nowhere, nowhere as it was then. If you take the current affairs in this country, where they are politically sweeping the people up to massacre the white man in this country.
Martin, when you say sweeping them up, what do you mean sweeping them up? Just getting them going? Riling them up, as we would say?
Riling them up to kill the white man.
What do they say to the people?
This is where metaphorical speech comes in, or imagery speech comes in. I'm going to use the example with the Congress of the ANC on the 14th of March this year. It was delayed and it was delayed, and the lady of our SABC TV network said at one stage that they are singing to uplift the spirits. If that lady knew what they were singing in their language in metaphorical speech, I'm sorry to say she would have probably wet herself. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to say the words that they sang, and then I will translate those words, what they mean in metaphorical speech. They sang, "Ya memeza insimbi." Memeza means to call. Insimbi is a piece of metal. And the second verse is, "Ya tuma amadlebeni." Tuma means thunder, and ears, matlebeni means ears. In other words, it thunders in my ears. Yotlenga niswa umfana. It will be handled by a young warrior. And then the last verse, Yoletwa usatane. It will be brought by Satan. In other words, which piece of metal calls you by thundering in the ears? that will be handled by a young warrior and will be brought forth by Satan. Automatic AK-47. That is a metaphorical speech they sing in their own language, and then they, on the same tune, they start singing an English verse, which is this oppressing song that shows the world that the white man is this bad butcher. For example, my mother was a kitchen girl. The second verse, my father was a garden boy because there was no money. That is what they do. They use the shortage of knowledge of the white man against the white man. Because this that's happening in South Africa, I'm sorry to say, John, this is happening all over the world. If you take all the people that are infiltrating the European countries, the Americas, the Australias, this is all a set-up plan by the Islam countries to infiltrate the world. At the end of the day, the news lately is full of the New World Order. It's to eliminate the Christian in the world. And there are probably people out there that are listening that will probably take me apart for this, but we are fighting in South Africa, we are fighting the forces of darkness. And by saying that, how on earth do you go to witch doctors and cast the bones and speak to the forefathers? Those are forces of darkness. We are not standing against humanity here. We're standing against Satan. And the world, the liberals out there, are believing every little lie that these people are telling them, because they have to uphold the lies that started when the ANC took over this country. This thing that they are taking the land without compensation, that is an eye blind to the world. They're telling the world that we stole the land from them. The liberals out there believe that the white man was in this country. An infamous lie that became a cultural lie. Today, even today, with the expropriation of land without compensation, they have no right to take the land in this country. They have no right to take the land which the farmer built up, which the farmer paid for, to come and take it without compensation. It is easy for them to stand in front of crowds to shout out, kill the white man, kill the farmer. One bullet, one farmer. This morning, a farmer of 70 years old was attacked. He's in ICU currently, where he was cut up with a panga. He's got head damage of such an extent that he's in ICU. Whether he's going to live, whether he's going to die, we don't know.
What is a what's a panga?
A machete. A panga, gotcha, is a machete.
Just wanted everyone to know.
Yeah. If you look, John, if you look at the brutality with which these farm attacks and murders are happening, no human being can do things like that because it's so brutal. And I keep telling the people in this country that it is the forces of darkness. The moment they see blood, they go crazy. And it's those forces of darkness that take these people, take over. And it's incredible the brutality with which these things are happening. They don't accept that it's terrorism. That is exactly what this is. It's blatant terrorism.
Now, I understand there's been some sort of a rebellion or a secession or something down around the Cape today.
That's correct. That's correct, John. Look, the indigenous people, the Khoi and the Sun, they have seceded most of the Cape province, which is just a little under half of South Africa. And today was the day that they hoisted the flags and they submitted the letter of evacuation of the black people in the Cape of Good Hope. Now, what is going to happen there, which we think, and I honestly believe, the ANC will not give up the power. It's all about power. And we expecting, as of tonight, that the Economic Freedom Front and the Blackland First will convey thousands of their followers to come and oppose that secession. We are on the verge of a nightmare in this country, because if that happens, we are in a full-scale war. We as white people are preparing those that are part of our groups and part of the people that have prepared already to evacuate the cities to safe areas where we can take the women and children, where they will be safe, and then the men will then go forward and take on this battle. John, we cannot stand back and let these people just walk over us. We cannot. We built this country to what it is today. They haven't built anything, but everything that was built by the white man has been is being broken down or burnt to ashes.
You know, Martin, I had no idea that I would talk about some of the things that I talk about on this program. The same thing as when I wanted to fly an airplane. I thought that I was going to be around men of scientific acumen and higher thinking, you know. Found out a lot of them are just white trash with wings, but some of them are good pilots, notwithstanding. You know, I want people to understand how seriously brainwashed they have been and will continue to be subjected to the attempt to brainwash them, wash out what was there, and put in what they want. The problem, folks, you know, it's so easy. I heard this guy last night talking about, I don't know who it was, I just heard his words. He was talking with that guy who likes to kick people off his show and call him a DA. And he was going on and on about white guilt. And I was actually rather impressed with what he was saying, because it was true. But it's the same thing that's been said on this program many times. And that is, when people start talking about social justice, but the identifiers for social justice include skin color, background, religion, all these things. If justice is supposed to be blind, then I don't think the word social belongs in front of it. If they're looking for equal privilege Well, that's one thing. But you can't go into the president's office, any president, of any place, and just put your feet up on his desk after tossing his coat over on the chair across the room there and ask him what's going on. You're not privileged to do that. What this all comes down to is what I've said many times. I have far more problems with my brothers than with any of the other brothers. And our brothers, my fellow white people, unfortunately, are people like George Soros. Mm. And I say George Soros just because he got so much camera time standing next to F.W. de Klerk, the last white president of South Africa. I don't think they really believe it, Martin. I don't think that they believe that these... See, here's the thing. There is a cadre of white people who think that, yes, white people have held all the other races down. Well, it simply isn't true, but that's their story and they're sticking with it.
You know, John,
yeah.
If F.W. de Klerk is being seen as the biggest traitor that this country has ever seen.
Well, I bloody well hope so.
Because he sold out his own people to the communist regime that is currently governing this country. The problem is what the people don't understand. And I got gray in a year. I had a couple of gray hairs, but I've gone basically almost completely gray in 1 year due to the fact that I hear what these people are saying on the ground. And I know what their intentions are. And if the people, the liberals in America, Europe, or wherever they are, these people do not care about skin color. If you, as a white person, whether you're from Germany, whether you're from Ukraine, whether you're from Russia, the United States, or Britain, if you get to this country, they'll rob you, they'll kill you, they'll rape you because of your skin color. They are talking of a total ethnic cleansing. That is the problem that the liberals, you know, it's a far piece from the reality which is going on here, what they are hearing all over the world, because the lie that these people are continuing to bring out there and say that the white man stole this, the white man stole that. On the email that I sent you just about the time when we're going to connect, a black man wrote that. There are black people in this country that are openly saying that the world must start waking up. The white man never stole this country. The white man never killed the black people to reign over them. The world don't understand this. And I said, I presume, John, that you listened to my YouTube videos, the very first one on the historical facts. You know, every one of us in South Africa stem from one or other European country. Those are our brothers and sisters. And we are all, in the whole world, we are all in danger due to the fact of the New World Order. And I actually said there that we, brothers in Christ, we need you people to help us. We need you people to speak out. We need you people to stand up as one voice and tell the ANC communist government to back off. They have gone to such an extremes that they have disarmed the white man with their laws. There were people that were late to renew their licenses. They are now in possession of illegal weapons. They're doing everything they possibly can to disarm the white man in this country. Malema of the EFF said recently, 2-3 days ago, on a YouTube video, that if any white man retaliates, if they go and go take farms by force or businesses by force, and any man retaliates and kills one of the black people in this country, that will be the sign to them to massacre the white man completely off the face of the earth.
So you're saying you either allow them to kill you and be quiet about it, or in the alternative, if you retaliate on them, that's the signal for them to kill all of you, not just whomever they wish as they go along.
Exactly, John.
Well, that's exactly. Insane. So John, let's get down to it, shall we?
Okay.
How primitive are these people, and what do you estimate the average IQ to be?
John, well, let's say what is a very intelligent person is probably 180. A normal person is about 120, round about there. I'd give them anything between 60 and 70.
That was my estimate as well. So, look, you've been dealing with this for a long, long time. You really have. And what if you could just rub the genie out of the lamp and just pick up the phone and call whomever? Who would you call and what would you ask for?
John, that's a very difficult question to answer. I've taken the project that I'm doing on myself. I cannot ask for arms. I cannot ask for military assistance, because I can guarantee you I will be in jail for the rest of my life for sedition. Anything that is spoken out against this government currently, they see as sedition. They withhold any news to go out to the world. There was an order given that none of the news about farm attacks and that kind of thing must go out in the world. They've put a complete stop and blockage on all of that. If you take, just for an example, from the 1st to the 15th of July, Rome Research Institution of South Africa, in Limpopo province, there were four farm attacks. In Mpumalanga, there were two farm attacks. Northwest province, there were three attacks. The Gauteng province, that is Joburg, Pretoria, there were four attacks. In the Free State, there was one attack. In the Western Cape, there was one attack. Today, in Mpumalanga, there was one attack. There were 16 attacks in total in 15 days, and there were two murders. Blatant execution murders, shooting the people point blank behind the head or from the front in the head.
You know, I was looking at some historic photographs, And it was Germany and Eastern Europe. And it's like, oh, look, this woman, she's stripped. She's naked and she's just walking. What can she do? Folks, look, this woman's just being, and it describes, this woman is being led away to be murdered. No big deal. And there were numerous pictures of soldiers and officers with their pistols just shooting these people. There was a very disturbing video that came out the other day. Well, it's not the other day. It's about a month now, maybe more than that, maybe a couple of months. I think it was. And it was a kind of a youngish man. I couldn't really tell how old he was. He didn't look very old at all. Just in a regular sports shirt, some blue jeans or maybe some slacks, something. And he's running, and someone's shooting, and he's hit, and he falls down. And then the next thing you see is he's getting just this person is just shooting this 9mm over and over and over right in here, just over and over and over.
That's correct.
And there was a Spanish accent there. I strongly suspect that this dead kid is one of the Nicaraguan university students, because the military is just doing the same thing. Now, here it is. And Martin, I've got us side by side on the screen, but I think I'll just go ahead and take it away. And this will be just me.
That's fine, John.
The idea that it's the same brand of so-called liberal that is enabling these characters in this country. It's the same brand as the one that enabled them in that country, but it's a smaller country. South Africa makes up Texas and some piece of some other states. It's not as big as this. Not as many millions of people. There aren't hundreds of millions of people there. There are 350 million people here if they would just be honest about the census. Look at the invasion of Europe. What happens over there? Raping and murder. Look what happens in the UK. Grooming gangs, raping and murder. What happens when somebody tries to just report outside a Leeds courtroom about some Pakistanis on trial for having a rape gang where they're turning little girls into pieces of meat and nothing more? I would say another word, but I'm going to say meat after, you know, 2-3 days of that. The reason that certain groups of people are labeled as savages is because they were savages. They still are savages. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure to some people out there now, you got to remember, Martin, there are a lot of black people that are caravanners also. But they get it.
That's correct. That's correct.
Obviously. They get it. Some of the best arguments against what the Malemas of the world and the Mandelas of the world and others and the Nkomos of the world, some of the ones that articulate the complaint against them, the most scathing indictments, come from other black people. Stronger and more to the point than many people of, I guess we are of no color, okay?
Yeah.
But I think people need to understand, they can't imagine such a thing, because here in the States especially, and largely in Europe, oh, they can't believe it. No, everyone should love each other, everything's fine. And look, I get it. If you go to one of these big dance shows, for example, there's a lot of throbbing music, big stadium-sized events, nicest people you've ever seen in your life, well-behaved, no fighting, very, very little sleazy, nasty stuff. I mean, they're all dressed nice, you know, and they're ready to have a good time at a party. They're civilized. In this country, when you've got a lot of that kind of music, that throbbing hard style electronic music, you're going to see a lot of trash. You're going to see a lot of trash. You're going to see a lot of drugged out, methed up, trashy folks. Not everywhere, but yeah, everywhere, just not in necessarily the same proportion that they are in other places where you see a whole lots of trashy people. So they can't quite believe. When you see this in the kids, you see the way the kids act, you know, you kind of get an idea of the way that they were raised. And they've been raised to be nice, be tolerant. But now they're having this ridiculous wave of immigrants imposed on them, these so-called refugees that are just destroying their culture. So Mr. Trump goes over there and tells Theresa May, you're destroying your culture by all these immigrants, and you don't have the space for this.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, the very types of persons just like that naked lady who was being led away to be murdered. Here, I'll take this one. I'm going to take this one over here by the ditch and murder her. Come on.
That's right.
They can't imagine such a thing would happen. Those women in Germany, when they knew the Russians were coming, they knew they were going to be raped and everything in the world. Now, they did a statue with a Russian sticking a pistol in this woman's mouth. She's still got her clothes on, but you can tell he's raping her with his gun in her mouth because that was the style. All you have to do is look at artistic depictions, warning posters, any other posters about Russians raping German women. Just go to a search engine and look. It'll come up. All kinds of art. Very, very old art that depicted this stuff. So now everybody's so soft that they're being led away, just like that woman, to be murdered because they can't imagine this is really happening. And if it is really happening, well, then what can I do?
That's right.
So in the same way that you're expected to stand there and let this gang of thugs, they look like a bunch of rappers, folks, only they're carrying AKs and other stuff. In the same way that you're supposed to stand there and let them kill one or two of yours, because if you shoot one of them, then that's the signal to kill all of you.
Exactly.
People can't believe such a thing, Martin. They can't believe it. So you know what? Because they don't believe it. They can't believe it, but they must believe it or it will happen to them. We came so close to that happening with Barack Obama. Nobody would believe it.
You know, John, there are times that I catch myself, that I think to myself, how on earth can this be possible? That we are heading to the total annihilation of a white country. Or white people in this country. And you cannot actually be realistic when you think this is actually happening. And a lot of people don't believe what the state of affairs are in this country. We are fighting for our lives in this country. That is the reason. I'll tell you what, John. I live very closely to our Heavenly Father because I ask Him guidance. What can I do to help the people in South Africa, to help the white people to safeguard themselves? That is why I'm traveling all over South Africa trying to instruct and guide the people to what they must do, because help from abroad, it doesn't seem like anybody, as you say, they don't want to hear these things. I think the white man is the bull that just runs over everything. We are a God-fearing country. We have never gone to war with these people out of our own. It was always brought to us. We are a peace-loving nation and a God-fearing nation. And, you know, at times I just think to myself, what is the use of trying to carry on to help our people when we are hoping? There was a lady that spoke to me this morning. She said to me, Martin, is the world ever going to sit up and notice what's going on in this country? She was crying. Our people are living in fear. If you take since the beginning of the year till now, it's July. 3 weekends ago, there were 22 attacks and 8 murders, all execution style, of white farmers that are producers of food in this country. But the people out there don't want to realize what we are facing. As you asked earlier, if I could make a call and ask for anything. As I said, I can't ask for arms. I cannot ask for military assistance. I'd end up in jail. I'll rot in jail for sedition. All I can ask is that the world see if they can't help people like me that are going out there and helping, trying to assist our people to start reading the signs. Every farm attack that happens, every farm murder that happens, between 7 to 21 days, they sit somewhere and they observe exactly what the movements of that farmer is. And according to what they then conclude, that's when the farm attack takes place. 99% of the time, it's somebody that gives them internal information. It's easy. Intimidation. They go to that man or whoever, they usually find the right-hand man of the farmer, and they intimidate him by telling him, if you don't help us, if you don't tell us what's going on here, we'll give you, kill your wife and kids. That is the problem in this country. If I had the freedom to travel every single day to farming communities over South Africa, to share my knowledge with them, to teach them about reading the African Sign Language, I guarantee you I will be able to stop 60 to 70% of these farm attacks, because the people see these signs and they don't know what they mean. We are all in this country on the edge of a precipice. And if we do not get the current world out there to speak up for the brethren in this country, we're done for.
When you say you're done for,
then we go, they'll kill us all.
You can't
John,
get out.
You know how easy, do you know how easy it is? They take buses, trucks, taxis, they block off the highways, all the escape routes. Take, for example, Johannesburg or Pretoria, big cities in this country. Block off all the highways, the exit routes with taxis, burning tires, rocks, and 2 million with machetes go in, and I guarantee you they'll kill the people within 48 hours. That is the problem we're sitting with.
How many people could die in 48 hours?
Yeah.
How
we
many?
We could lose, in 48 hours, we could lose 3/4 of the white people in this country.
And how many, what is that in numbers?
Their numbers.
No. You're talking 2 million, numbers. 3 million? Oh,
that's two. We are maximum 4.8 million white people in this country. They are 58 million. 58 million. Because they tore down the borders, Zimbabweans are here, Mozambicans are here, Nigerians are here, everybody are flocking to South Africa, the last food producing country in Africa. And they're starting to break this country, that nothing is left of it.
Martin, let me ask you something.
Yes, John.
Let's say all the white people just—you can't leave, can you?
Where to, John? There are people here, and that's the sad thing about it. Every half of our people in this country haven't got work due to the BEE and the corrective, or what is the right word, that they have chased the white men out or dropped them from the jobs to put incompetent black people in posts. That is why this country is going to the dogs. Because the people that have been put in high positions haven't got the competency to service that part of the work that they're supposed to.
So let's say all the white people were gone and they have the land. Then what happens to them?
John, I said a while ago, if you can take every single white person and you leave everything, you leave the houses, you leave the cars, you leave the tractors, the implements, the stores, you leave everything, and you can uplift all the white people in one moment and put them in the Kalahari Desert, and we can get water there, I guarantee within 6 months, they'll come and attack us in the Kalahari Desert, because then they have destroyed everything here and they will die of hunger. It'll become a second Ethiopia.
You know, people have short memories. They don't remember Ethiopia. They don't remember Biafra. They don't remember a lot of things. But that's what the black Africans do. They starve. What they're really best at is actually three things. Making many, many babies.
Yeah.
Killing many, many people through murder. And starving in huge bleeding batches. Unbelievable. But that's racist. It's true, but it's racist. So what do you do? It's like the question I was asking all last week and in other weeks. If the cops and the courts and the government are the problem, well, then who exactly do you ask for help? And it's the same thing with this situation. If you see the murder and you see the starvation and you say, look, there's murder and starvation, and people say, you're a racist. What are you supposed to do then? There you are.
They were, John.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if people say, if you say, look at all that murder over there, and look at all that starvation over there, and good grief, look at that. And people go, I can't believe you pointed at those people and said those things, murder and starvation. You're a racist. I mean, what exactly. Mentality is this? What mentality is this that will not accept the truth? Why are we supposed to accept all of these people from these countries which did not develop, and we're all being blamed as white people for the ones that kept all these other countries from ever being developed?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly. You know what, John? I just want to point something out here. South Africa is 122 million hectares. And 122 million hectares, the white man, they're the farmer, the food producing farmer in this country, has only got 26.6 million hectares. That's 22%. 22%. Why don't they go and use the land that is available instead of taking the 22% that belongs to the white man who's producing food for this country?
It's because bloodthirsty dictators of the communist leanings have taken over your country. And even though 60% or better of the land is owned by the government, they won't do anything with it except blame you. They'll blame you. Your fault, Martin. Exactly. All your fault.
You know, John, I come from Hoedspruit, expropriation of some of the best export farms of mangoes and oranges that they expropriated from the white man. There's nothing left. They have cut the trees down for firewood. They've stolen the pipes. They've sold out the parts of the tractors, taken off the roofing of the houses, the windowsills, the windows, the door frames. It's incredible.
You give them the farms on a silver platter, and it's a matter of months, and it's gone. There's nothing being done about
it. Martin, I want to ask you something. What? Yes. I'm thinking you're in the 18 to 54 year range, somewhere in there. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about school now. What's being taught in the schools? Tell us about the bomb drills when you were a kid. Tell us about growing up in that part of the world. Maybe even start with, why did the Dutch go there to begin with?
The Dutch came to Africa because they wanted to get out of the how do you say, then when they killed the Christians as French Huguenots, and to get away under the European ruling. That is why they came to Africa.
So they wanted to get away from the oligarchs.
That's correct. That's correct, John.
The world order.
Exactly.
It was a break. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Now, look, if I say something wrong, you pull those reins. And I will.
Believe me, John.
Yeah.
Believe me, I will, John.
You had brilliant people. Brilliant people. Tough people. Educated people. Cultured people. And they went, we're going to make ourselves a breakaway civilization. So they did. And they landed at the Cape.
That's correct.
And there were nothing but Bushmen. Do the Bushmen there of the Cape, do they look like the Namas up there in Namib?
Yeah, they do, basically, yes.
Yeah. They look almost Asian.
That's correct. And yeah. small of stature and very, very thin with his huge buttocks.
One of my favorite movies of all time is The Gods Must Be Crazy.
Those are the real Khoi and San or Bushmen of Africa. That movie shows exactly what they look like.
They're pretty mellow people, though, aren't they? They're not warlike.
No, they're not warlike at all. Not at all.
Is it true that Shaka Zulu killed every one of his concubines who got pregnant because he was afraid the son would take his throne?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, so the Dutch went, we're going to make ourselves a breakaway civilization. So how long were we there before the British showed up and started making misery? Most people don't know that the British actually invented the concentration camp to stuff with women and children, starved a few thousand of them to death. So tell us all about it.
The farmers, to an extent, fled the Cape Colony at that stage due to the fact that the English were there because it was a British colony. And they tried to force the Boers under their ruling. And with the Xhosas that attacked them on the north, on the eastern borders, and the British rule, they took off into the wilderness. And later on, and I honestly believe that that's why Britain are still upset with us, because if you go and you research this, a lot of this comes from Britain, because if you look at the money magnets that are financing these things, most of them are from Brits. And I said the other day, I said they're still probably upset with us because we cost them billions of pounds with the Boer Wars, with the guerrilla warfare that we fought against them. And I really reckon that's why the Brits are still angry at us and calling us these butchers.
I'm sure that's part of it. No doubt about it. Let's see. Yeah. Well,
as a youngster, John, you asked me a question about the bombings and things like that. As a youngster, I grew up on the Northern Natal border, that's bordering the Mozambique border, if as a crow flies, about 60, 70 kilometers. As a young boy of 6 years old, we were attacked. In those days, they called them terrorists. Nowadays, they call them farm attacks. It's nothing to do with terror. We were three sons, my mom and dad. We fought them off in the night. We stood at windows fighting against the terrorists. We had diamond mesh in front of the windows so that if they threw petrol bombs or grenades or RBG7s, they would explode outside the house and not penetrate the house.
Explode outside the house.
Exactly, yeah. That's how we grew up. Because you couldn't, there was a curfew from 6 o'clock in the evenings. You couldn't call anybody. The same as which happened in Rhodesia with the Rhodesian war. Exactly the same. History is only repeating itself all over Africa.
That's interesting. And what year would that be, approximately?
That was in 67.
Right. Now, how long did that war last? Almost 20.
Which wars?
The one up in the north.
Oh, up in Angola or Southwest Africa. Well, it started in 66 and we extracted our forces in 1987-88.
Who was supplying the arms to the terrorists? Because all the AKs that I saw there were Russian.
The Russians were supplying them of arms. Because most of the young people went to Russia to train to come and fight us in guerrilla warfare in Southwest Africa.
And so when that war ended, what happened then?
When the war ended, our forces were extracted from there, and that is basically 87. That is when they started with the negotiations, and in 94, the ANC took over. That in 94, the fall of this country started.
Now, when all those poor, repressed Africans take over, I don't suppose anybody in Western Europe, Eastern Europe, or anywhere else is interested in the gold or the diamonds or the ferrochrome or the molybdenum or any of that, right? No, nobody's interested in any of that.
Oh, come on, John. You know better than that. It's all about the minerals in this country. The problem is, and I'm saying this, the black man has no integrity. I'm sorry to say this, and I say it openly. They are only the pawns that are being used by the rich and wealthy to achieve, at the end of the day, the minerals in Africa or Southern Africa, the gold, the diamonds. That is what this is all about. That is why the rich Oaks or rich guys are giving these guys money to eliminate the white man. As long as the white man is here, they cannot do that.
And what color would these rich guys be mostly?
Oh, they all white. They must be. They are definitely white people, John.
They're definitely white people, yes. Does everyone understand now what I mean when I say I have far greater problems with my so-called brothers than with any of the other brothers from African or African-American mothers? It's the same crews doing the same stuff all over the world. And with the advent of Mr. Trump, may I say, they are in a panic. It's insane. Now, coincidentally, On December 12, 1963, Kenya gained its independence. Independence from whom?
Britain.
Yeah, the British. So why would they do that? Were they having trouble with the Kenyans? I just think it's interesting that that's right about the same time that Barack Obama was born.
Exactly.
And I exactly. bet his birth certificate is in archive in the UK somewhere.
Yeah. You see, John, this whole thing right across the world is being manipulated by the filthy rich to, at the end of the day, for their own gain. The white man has got nothing to do with all of this. That is why eliminate the white man, and we've got that country by the short and curly, and we can then use the mineral rights and whatever there is to our own benefit.
Same as it ever was in those banana republics. They just want to turn South Africa into a banana republic. All you have to do is bribe the local dictator and you get whatever you want.
Exactly.
And here and bring some white prostitutes with you. Look,
Yeah.
I've been around. I know how these things work. I don't care about these social justice warrior idiots. I despise the left. I think Marxists are the lowest form of scum. Is that clear enough?
That's clear. That's very clear, and that's well said, John. If you look at Malema, Malema is an anarchist, and he will follow exactly the same road that Mugabe followed in Zimbabwe.
And what road was that?
Total destruction of a country that was the breadbasket of Africa. That was known as one of the best producing countries in the world, that he took the farms from the white men. Those Zimbabweans in South Africa today, why? Because they're dying of hunger in Zimbabwe.
Arnold, we were talking about Obama's birth certificate and this and that, and people say, are you a birther? It's like, I guess you can come up with whatever word you want. Do I think he's the genuine article? Do I think he is who he represents himself to be? No. And he wanted, he was floating out these ideas of a civilian military that's just as well equipped, just as well funded, just as well trained as our regular military, because our regular military, that's just not enough. While simultaneously he's pulling these, you know, the aircraft going without parts and all kinds of stuff was happening to the military. Just stupid. He purged all these captains and majors who were all getting blown out and taking early retirement and just generally being relieved of their jobs as he drew down and drew down. Then he started putting people in, you know, women's shoes, walk a mile in her shoes and all this stuff. And then these idiots in Congress, it didn't last long, but no, they were thinking about maybe putting women in frontline infantry units. It's like,
they're
insane. And, you know, when we talk about 40 IQ, I'm thinking that's where some of those politicians are, somewhere in the 40 to 60 range. I'm thinking Pelosi, McCain, people like that. Although McCain's sick, you know, he was always kind of sick. Anyway, you've gone, South Africa's gone round and round with the British. I want to get to that concentration camp part. I've mentioned it before, but I want to mention it again because there are new caravanners all the time. But now,
you see, John, I know exactly where you're going. If I can say this, what's currently happening in this country, burning of everything, it reminds me of when the British took the farmers or the Boers' wives to concentration camps to try and force the Boers to end the war. They burnt everything. They burnt the houses. They burnt the farms. They killed the sheep. They killed the cattle. The farmer basically had to start after that war, had to start from the very beginning
to build a life once again from nothing. And that is exactly what is currently happening in this country, is to burn everything, to loot everything, and oh, they love their Petronov bombs. The petrol bombs, they love them.
So when were the British finally out of there?
Wow, I can't remember exactly.
I know you're not a historian, but defeat of the Boer War, 48, yeah.
Roundabout, I'm not a historian either. I know the African history very, very well, but it was round about 1936-38, if I remember correctly, that they withdrew from the country.
Yeah, this is what's interesting. This is what many people do not know about apartheid, for example. Following the defeat of the Boers in the Anglo-Boer or South African War, 1899 to 1902, the Union of South Africa was created as a dominion of the British Empire in terms of the South Africa Act 1909, which amalgamated the four previously separate British colonies, Cape Colony, Natal Colony, Transvaal Colony, and Orange River Colony. The country became a self-governing nation state within the British Empire in 1934, following enactment of the Status of the Union Act. The Dominion came to an end on 31 May 1961 as the consequence of a 1960 referendum, which legitimized the country becoming a sovereign state named Republic of South Africa. A Republican constitution was adopted. A Republican constitution. So it's a constitutional republic. That's what that means. From 48 to 94. Now get this. South African politics were dominated by Afrikaner nationalism. Racial segregation and white minority rule, known officially as apartheid, an Afrikaans word meaning separateness, came into existence in 1948 under British rule and became an official law of segregation when South Africa became a republic. It was an extension of the segregationist legislation enacted in 1960. Now, get this. On 27 April 1994, after decades of armed struggle and international opposition to apartheid, during which military and political support was provided primarily by the Soviet Union, to the non-racial African National Congress, the ANC. The ANC achieved victory in the country's first democratic election, which all races could vote. Since then, the African National Congress has dominated the politics of South Africa in an uneasy alliance with the South African Communist Party and the Congress of South African Trade Unions. In other words, it is a communist regime.
Exactly, John. There's no two ways about it. If you look at what's going on in this country currently, the country is actually being run by the unions. Because if the unions do not achieve that which they want, they get their people to start rioting and burning and looting, and it's actually a legal way of looting and burning.
Let me ask you this. How many, is there any way to even estimate how many black people Nelson and Winnie Mandela killed?
John, there is one thing the world don't know, that Mandela, he was a terrorist leader. He killed many, many white people in the struggle of the ANC against the white people. He bombed churches. He bombed streets. He bombed businesses. Winnie Mandela, of course, is the master of intimidation and manipulation. She is the mother who started the necklacing. How many, in the time of the struggle, how many young black children were necklaced and killed, and the white man was blamed for that?
That's a good question. Do we have an answer?
Thousands. Thousands were killed by the ANC to frame the white man as the monster in this country.
So you're telling me that white men were not chasing black children and teenagers through the bush, dragging them back and hanging tires around their necks filled with gasoline and setting them on fire? That was not
what
South Africans
did. No, that never happened. What happened, and they're doing it currently now, where they are rioting. They're taking school children to go ahead of them. They're putting the school children at risk in front of them so that they have then an excuse. If somebody retaliates, then the old lie of they're killing children. They're not killing the grown-ups, but they're slaughtering the children. It is a means that they've had ever since they started in the struggle to overthrow the white government in this country. If you look up north, young child soldiers, 12, 9, 10, 11, 12, carrying AK-47s, child soldiers. And my argument about that is, if he is old enough to throw a petrol bomb or to kill somebody, then he's not a child anymore.
It's interesting. Do you know, you may have heard of this book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, by Robert Kiyosaki, big time, very, very rich guy.
Yeah, that's correct.
He was a combat helicopter pilot in Vietnam, a Marine. So he's a tough guy. Now, this was a conversation. It wasn't just Robert Kiyosaki and myself just talking about some stuff that's not to be repeated. He said this in front of a bunch of people. Being in combat like that and killing people, he liked it. He liked it. But then came a day when a 10-year-old Vietnamese boy threw a satchel charge into his helicopter. And he found it, got rid of it, or disarmed it, and had the drop on the kid. And he was just about to kill this kid, and he just couldn't do it. And he said to me, I guess he went back through it again. He brought it up during this conversation. Then about, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes went by, and then in passing he said, "You know, I was thinking, it's what you said." He's telling me this. I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Ethically, I should have shot that kid. Morally, I couldn't do it." And he goes, and that was it. I mustered out after that as soon as I could. Ethically, they're throwing a petrol bomb or shooting. What are you going to do? Try and talk him out of it? And why would you do that? So you sacrifice your own life so that a movie maker can say, well, this little child burned these white people up in the struggle for equality and freedom, right? He murdered these people. But then he had a conscience about it and grew up to be a great leader in his country, teaching other people not to throw petrol bombs and shoot bullets into other people and stab and rape and gut and all the other things that they do. Just like who is that guy? Mulele, I think his name is. Mulele, the army guy.
Yeah, Molina.
Yeah. He was talking about some priest or something, I think it was, that he should have his eyes gouged out because apartheid is in him, and his eyes being gouged out, the last thing that he sees on this earth should be his attacker. I mean, this is the kind of sadistic savages these people are. I mean, anybody in this country that talks like that, somebody starts calling the FBI and everybody else, you know?
Exactly. You know, John, the sad thing about this, the word apartheid, there was no apartheid in this country because they may take it due to the fact that the white man had forced these people into a situation where they could not rise as they think or wanted to. But who gave the black man schools in this country? Who built them the schools? Who started giving them the education? If you look at those people today, the universities, the schools, they burn them down. It's actually ridiculous. The Minister of Education the other day said, but they don't need to be taught. They don't need to be taught because before the white man came into this country, they didn't need teaching. They didn't need to go forward in life. They lived well enough before time, before the white man arrived here. And it's true. As God-fearing people, and any human being that can kill a child, whether he's black, whether he's pink, whether he's purple, is somebody that's screwed up completely in his mind.
Well, I couldn't agree more. But they do it, don't they?
They do it. But, you know, if you look at children, little girls, the farm attacks, they splay women. Do you know what splaying means, John? You know. But do the rest of America know that?
I think you should tell them.
Splaying a woman is unhinging their hips. And they take their feet and they hook him under the arms. And they rape them continuously. They do that to grown-up women from little baby girls of 6, 7 years old. They do exactly the same. And they want to call them human. They blame us that we stole their country, we raped their women, we killed their children. That's the utmost nonsense that the world could ever believe from these people.
Yeah, I'm curious, what is the white on black rape rate over there? I'm thinking zero, like it is here.
Zero. It is zero. You will never hear of a white man raping a black woman. But the black man rapes women every day. 3 to 4 rapes take place in South Africa. You see, John, the thing is, the world must wake up. The world must really come to their senses about the white man in South Africa. We were made out to be these brutal bastards, excuse the word, that raped, killed, and stole a country over the barrel of a gun. As I've said in the history, we in defense earned the right to govern this country. But the lies that are being told, even today, I watched a YouTube video this morning of an American Negro that was telling the people in the world that the white man is raping the black people, the black children. What does he know about what's going on in South Africa? He knows nothing. That is the problem. They all believe the lie that has become a cultural lie because they've got nothing else. They took over the country. It's 24 years now that the ANC has been ruling the country. And where's it gone? It's gone to the dogs because of incompetence, because they cannot rule a country. They cannot work with money. If you look at the fraud and the monies that have disappeared in this country due to corruption, it's scary. But the world don't know that.
I remember when it was run, one rand equaled $1.
Exactly.
What happened to the money? I know you're not an economist, but you've lived through it. What happened to the money?
You know, John, the other day I read a thing about the gold reserves in the Reserve Bank. There is no gold reserves. There are no gold reserves anymore because they had taken the gold reserves and sold them to fulfill their own greed and to fill their pockets.
So in other words, there's probably a bunch of Swiss vaults with bullion in them.
Exactly. Everything. If you look at Eskom, Eskom is our power supplier. They're bankrupt. They are bankrupt. But they're fighting. Currently, they are negotiating. We were on the verge of going into darkness in South Africa about 3 weeks ago. They haven't got the money. The unions are pushing for raises of 12%, 13%. They cannot pay that. And the unfortunate thing to that is our fuel prices have escalated astronomically because they've got to retrieve that money from somewhere that was stolen and that was defrauded the country. It became a free-for-all. Once they took over, it became a free-for-all for corruption.
You know, I just want everybody to get this because this is exactly what's planned for Western Europe. You saw all that stuff, that's right. Little blimp. I mean, they made it sound like it was this enormous blimp that was of Donald Trump as an angry baby. It looked like this stupid little balloon thing. It wasn't very big at all. It's just stupid. And, meeting with the Russians now. Why is he meeting with the Russians? And, of course, what was it? Rosenstein decides on the day that the president is going over there to meet with President Putin, they decide to drop these indictments to make it as embarrassing as possible. It's just unbelievable how transparent this is. You know, I'm reminded of a – folks, this might be of some value to you. I think you might have heard me say this before, but a man who invented the JATO bottle, you shove them in the sides of the aircraft and they take off. You see them mostly used in the 50s and early 60s. You see the JATO bottles, jet-assisted takeoff bottles, load them in the side of the airplane. You got a short strip. Put the power, light the bottles, and you get extra thrust. He invented that bottle. And he also did the rubber seals around the round globe that is Reunion Tower in downtown Dallas. And I was talking with him one day, and I asked him, how do you get a new idea, Ernie? And he said, you put two or three things together, and you got a new idea. And that's exactly right. As you're listening to this, you put two or three things together, and you have a new idea. Which in this case, that idea is a different way of looking at things. Clearly, they really thought that Obama was going to be a lot more successful than he was because he was the Trojan horse for all of this mess that you're seeing. This is just my opinion, but it's based on those two or three things that I've put together and I come up with this big idea that sounds much like some of my other ideas. But these people have really long, long tentacles. They really do. And you see how, I mean, this is just the most wonderful display of mutual backside covering I've ever seen with this whole FBI thing. What a ridiculous scandal. But now you're seeing that all this talk about all new world order and all these bankers, all that, it's true. It's absolutely true. And they know it. And they're panicked. And that's why they're panicked about Mr. Trump, because it's all falling down. So whatever it is that we've been doing, and I'm thinking it's praying.
That's all we can do, John.
I'm thinking that it's the praying that people are doing for the country and for the citizens of the United States of America, because they know that where America goes, the rest of the world will surely follow. It will. There's nobody. There's nobody to look out for them anymore if we're gone, and we're well on our way. Or we're.
And the sad thing about that is South Africa, we are the first country to be taken apart so that the rest of the world can follow. We the experiment. We the experiment. And, you know, if the people in the world, you know, they say in the African culture, and I know because I've lived with these people for how many years. If you are kind to him, he sees you as a person without a backbone, and he will carry on abusing your kindness for his own gain. And the sooner the people in the world realize that these people have got a complete different eye view of humanity than we as white people in the world have. Their culture is about killing, robbing, destroying. If they cannot have their way, they massacre. That is their culture.
People see a lot of fake events. The blood is too red. The same people keep showing up in these disaster scenes. There's always a shoe there, as Oleg Damigard has pointed out on numerous occasions. He's right. There's always a shoe. Somebody's lost a shoe. Always a shoe. All these little symbols. They don't know what dead bodies and viscera and blood and murder, they don't know what it looks like. Most of them do not, unless they're cops or, you know, emergency medical people. They don't know what that stuff looks like. They see it on TV and it looks almost glamorous. It's not glamorous.
You know, John, I investigated farm murders and farm attacks. What I saw and what I've experienced, I don't wish it on any normal human being whatsoever. I'm going to tell you about one incident. A farm attack had taken place, and I get very teary when I talk about this because that was one of the worst things I ever experienced in my life. I was the first one to move into the house. And there was a young lady, she was an English lady, laying on the table. She was splayed. And as I walked in, she said to me, "My baby," whispering it to me. I couldn't believe that that woman was alive. And she said to me the second time, when I listened carefully, the pleading in her voice, "My baby." And I realized that somewhere in the house there must be a tiny baby. And I walked through the house, and as I walked into the main bedroom, I saw this little hand, a baby hand. That kid, if that little girl was 2 weeks old, not more than 2 weeks old, I wrapped the kid up in a blanket, a little baby blanket, and I walked back to this lady, and she said, "Thank you," and she was gone. She stayed alive after the torture she went through. She stayed alive until somebody could show her that her baby was taken care of. That is what, you know, I get very emotional when I talk about these things, because I wish I could say what I could say, but I've got to remember. Pardon, John?
Say whatever you want.
These bastards are inhuman, man. You know, little babies that are 2-3 months old, take them by the feet and hit their heads against the walls and kill them by hitting them against the walls. Which normal human would do things like that? but the world don't know these things. Then we are disarmed. They come into my house. This is my private house. And when I'm sleeping in my bed, I wake up with this animal next to me, and I physically got to shoot him after he shot me. What the hell does that help? It is, I sometimes feel like shaking the world to wake these people up. We are being called murderers. We called the brutes of Africa. We called rapists. We called everything in the world, which we are not. But the world, the liberals in the world come and take us apart. They finance these people to come and kill the white farmers in this country. Are they out of their minds?
Yeah.
The world must wake up, because once they've done with the white man in Africa and Southern Africa, America, Britain, European countries, all these refugees that you're allowing in your countries, do you think that's not planned? You are next. Because this is all about, they call it today, they call it the New World Order. It's a one world order that they're heading for. One currency, one rule, one government. That's what they're heading to. But the people are too stupid and blind and deaf to hear the warnings that are coming from the people in South Africa to tell them, you are next. You people are next. Don't allow them to eliminate the white man in South Africa, because they don't see the bigger picture around this whole situation.
I've said that South Africa is the test bed for what they want to do here.
Exactly.
I mean, do you agree with that? Because I don't see it any other way.
John, you tell me, I'm heated in way of speaking. I ask you, with tears in my eyes, what are all these refugees going to do in countries if you take the Muslims? They hate the white man. They hate the Christian. What on earth are they going to do in those countries except to infiltrate, to get them ready for the takeover? To mix races and to break the Christian blood in the world. That is what this is all about.
That's right. I couldn't agree with you more. I do. You know, I'm too far down the road to worry about what people say. No matter what you do, someone is going to take exception to it. Someone is going to be offended somewhere.
Always. It always happens, John.
The truth is one of those things that really doesn't require anyone's belief in it to exist.
John, you know, I've got a saying I always say to the people. Yeah, I started the ACPA WhatsApp group, and the last 2 days it's burst out of its seams that people want me to come and help them and guide them on how to prepare and all that kind of thing. The problem with the people in the world, they are living in a comfort zone. And as long as that comfort zone isn't touched, they couldn't care less. But the moment their comfort zone is shaken, then all of a sudden, they're up in arms. I see it here every single day of my life, that people come and ask me, but you are crazy, these things aren't happening. And I ask them, but don't you hear what is going on? Because farm murders, farm attacks, armed robberies, whatever, they don't even show it on the news in this country. The people are not aware of what is going on. And it's due to the comfort zone that the world, not only South Africa, the world is not interested or cares to listen to those who can give them guidance and give them verifiable proof of what is going on. They don't want to hear this. Some women say to me when I talk to me, I don't want to hear this. But it's time that the world starts listening, because it's no good saying, I don't want to hear this. And then at the end of the day, you the one whose throat's going to be slit. You are the one that's going to be hijacked. You are the one that's going to be shot and raped or burnt alive.
Oof.
That's what the reality in South Africa is, John.
You know why they did this to the country? Because you had a gold-backed currency.
Yeah. If you look at where the rand has gone since they have taken over, where it was a rand to a dollar. It's 13, 14 rand to a dollar now. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They want to privatize the mines. They want to privatize the banks. They want to take everything and privatize it. Where is this all going to go?
Well, in someone's pocket.
Exactly.
Into the pockets of boards of directors at the various banks. That's where it's going to go.
Exactly, John.
Because the fact is, the people who are pillaging this country, including the black ones, they don't care about black people at all.
No,
not at all.
They don't. They don't. They couldn't care less whether they die of hunger, as long as they're living the high life and driving around in Maseratis and Porsches and that kind of thing, living in an expensive house, drinking the best wines and eating caviar every night. They couldn't care less about those that they used to achieve.
Well, there's this disgusting little beast of a woman named Michelle Wolf. I don't care if she's a nice person or not. I don't think she is. I think she's a disgusting slag, frankly. And she comes marching out in her red, white, and blue uniform talking about killing babies and, you know, abortion should be on the dollar menu. And she looks, she's just got this disgusting, snarling mouth. She reminds me of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, another disgusting Democrat operative over here. And I was just thinking, my mind just went out there and I just thought, pieces of human waste like this would celebrate the annihilation of an entire people, of all of the white South Africans. It's people like that, Michelle Wolf, and that other one that had, I don't even want to remember her name, that moronic-looking redhead with the decapitated head of Donald Trump. I'm sure you saw that, Kathy Griffin.
Oh, yes, I saw that, yeah.
That's the left. They're insane. And even this character of Peter Strzok with his girlfriend, you ever seen a horse? You've seen a horse before when he smells something or tastes something weird and sticks that lip way up there and you see all its gums, you know?
Yeah.
Reminds me of Lisa Page. But anyway, yeah, that's mean, but it's true. This guy, Strzok, this wolf, Hillary Clinton, Wasserman Schultz, Pelosi. Now, there are some on the right, too, but not near as many and not near as high profile. They look like they're possessed by something. That Peter Strzok, that FBI agent, that, you know, he and his girlfriend were sending all these texts.
Yeah.
God, he was doing some sort of some sort of a shimmy shake with these smirks and grins on his face. He looked like Nosferatu's little gay brother. He really did. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you talk about, I've said this many times, this is the story of the battle between good and evil. There is more of a revival going on now. I think there are more people reaching out to the real God, the God of Abraham, whose son was Jesus Christ, now than maybe ever before. I think people are beginning to figure out that, wait a minute, the special effects that we see in the movies are imaginary simulations of what we think something might happen if an entity came into our presence from the other side of the veil. Yeah. So if it really does happen to people, if they really do dream things that come to pass, if they really do get messages from God, if they really do have an angel sitting next to them before they go into a gunfight, and the angel's telling this guy, don't be afraid, it'll be all right. I think people are beginning to get the idea that this is real. So what would happen? Suddenly, all the white South Africans have just been annihilated, just destroyed. Every one by one, people like this would celebrate it. Hooray! Hooray! Equality! Hooray! Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, human beings are born with different capacities. If they are free, they are not equal. If they are equal, they are not free. But all this bunch can scream about is equality. The banner of equality. Gay stuff all over the place. And, you know, here's the thing. I don't give a crap if somebody's gay. I don't. I don't want to hang with them all the time. I don't want to hang with their friends. I don't want to go to their bars. I don't want to do the things that they do.
It's choices, John.
But don't somebody try and sell me on that kind of conduct being normal. It's not. There's nothing normal about it. And this guy was blowing his horn behind me. I was trying to haul this big motorcycle lift. This lift 1,000 pounds. Put a bike on it, you know, and crank it up. And I got to stick it out of the back of this truck. This guy's blowing the horn. I thought he was mad at me. Instead, he pulls up next to me and starts making this gesture. And let's just put it this way. Where his cheek would poke out over and over and over again. And I just looked at him and I said, you're not supposed to be this way. I'm pretty sure God didn't intend for you to be this way. So shape up. He just stopped and looked, those heads struck, eyes forward, and drove off. And I mean, just off the charts, just stupid. And I'm just wondering, I'm looking around, Martin, at all these headlines. Oh, you know, Vladimir Putin's got the upper hand. Oh, it might be an impeachable offense. Oh, the ex-CIA director is saying it may be treasonous. I mean, all of these people just, California trying out free money for, they're going to give $500 a month to 100 people because, you know, they want to see it. Maybe they can really get their life together. With $500 over the course of a month, what are you going to live on, Spam, or is that going to be Vienna sausages?
Yeah.
They are insane. They are. What we have done is we have screwed up, and we have not. We have been too civilized. We have been too compassionate. We have been too altruistic. And now it's time to circle the wagons and decide, are we going to let them kill all of us?
No. Or not?
Because if they get the chance, they will.
Yes, they will. And I'm going to tell the world today, we may be a very few whites in this country, but believe me, we'll fight till the last man goes down. We'll fight with our backs against the wall. We will not allow Satan and his morons to come and kill and annihilate a God-fearing nation. The problem with the world is, who are the real and true believers out there? It doesn't help me to walk with a Bible under one hand and the sickle in the other, because then I'm sitting on top of the fence. You either a God-fearing Christian or you're nothing. You can't be lukewarm. You either a Christian or you're not. And our people must come back to
the throne of our Heavenly Father. And I'm talking about every single white man in this world. If we do not return to the throne and go on our knees before our Lord, it's over. We've got to return to the way of our Heavenly Father.
Why don't we leave it right there for now? Because I think that's the best place that we could possibly leave it. And let's reconvene in a week or two. Now that this thing in the Cape has happened, let's just see what's going to shake out. I think they're going to turn on each other. What do you think?
Yes, I think so, John. If you look at the expropriation of land without compensation, the Zulu king has got trust land. And Malema of the EFF said that all land must be taken, whether it be the king's or whether it be the white man's. And the king of the Zulus, Goodwill Zwelithini, warned them, if you take my land without, there's war. He's warned them. He said, if you take my trust land, there's war. But I, as a white man, if I go out there and I say, if you take my land, there's war, they take that as a total sign to eliminate every white man in this country, because then I am militaristic and I want to make war.
And in the meantime, your firearms permits are not being renewed. And I understand that some of the police stations don't have enough room for all the guns that people are turning in because they don't want to be caught with them without the permit.
Exactly.
Because you'll go to prison for that and you won't make it long in there, I take it.
That's right, John. That's right. As far as I go, when I send out voice notes, I plead with the people not to hand in their firearms, because this, which they are doing, is unconstitutional. We have the right in the country as it is to defend ourselves and our families against the criminal element.
How's the military over there? How's the military strength? How's the training? I understand all the films that I've seen of late, I see most of them are overweight, out of shape, and sitting around more than anything else. Am I close?
But John, it's a circus. It's a circus, really. There's no pride whatsoever. Whatsoever, there's no pride. Even the police and the military, they're overweight. They sleep on duty. Let's not go there, John. All I request from the world tonight is to pray for the fellow brothers and sisters, the white people in this country. That's all I'm asking tonight, is pray for us and take our hands in Christianity so that we can go forward in the name of our Heavenly Father.
And feed the ones who would kill you by the produce of the farms.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thanks for coming on the program, Martin. Seriously, we'll be talking. I'll be ringing you up in the next few days, all right?
Thanks, John, and have an awesome evening. And thank you very much for the opportunity that I could share the real facts that are going on in this country.
You've heard what Martin had to say. Did you get a couple of new ideas? I hope so. This is serious. This isn't a personal crusade because someone near and dear to me is from South Africa. This is a personal crusade because there are some people, my brothers, my sisters, my European cousins, my people of European descent, yours too. So what should we do? Get out the Jiffy Pop and sit around, and maybe we can get a live feed of the annihilation of human beings that brought civilization, music, culture, invention, science, everything, medicine, architecture, everything. Are you prepared to do anything, even if you can do only a little? Good. Talk to you tomorrow night. God bless. Be seeing you.